A few weeks had passed since you'd had your encounter with the mysterious thief, Celine. In the first few days after she disappeared into the night with your ring in hand, you'd wondered about just how many things she'd lied to you about. You'd spent almost an entire day in her company, talking with her, getting to know her, growing what you had thought had been a genuine connection. The fact that she had betrayed your trust by stealing your ring stung, but not nearly as much as the thought that she had faked an interest in you just to get close enough to you to get at it. You'd felt something real for her, something so intense and tangible that it had actually frightened you how quickly it had come on. But her eyes had been on the ring from the start. She'd even told you as much. As angry as you were with her duplicity, you'd kept the cryptic note she'd left, unable to bring yourself to throw it away. "I'm sorry I had to leave you like I did. I've taken your ring. You have no idea how much danger you were putting yourself in by wearing it. Please, do not try to find me. It's for your own safety and mine. Do not try to contact the police. That will only turn more eyes in your direction. Forgive me. Celine." Even though you had her confession in writing, you decided not to go to the authorities. There wasn't much you could do about the ring, after all. It was never yours to begin with. Better to just try and forget the whole affair. One day, while out for a walk, you stumbled upon a street festival. People were everywhere along the pavement, eating fried foods from flimsy paper plates, drinking fruity beverages from plastic cups, and shopping odds and ends from the makeshift booths the street vendors had set up. Somewhere, a band was playing in the distance, and you'd just made the decision to try and find where they were performing, when your gaze alighted on a familiar face. There, only about 4 feet ahead of you, was Celine. She was bent over a table of tarnished-looking jewelry, examining everything carefully by picking up one piece at a time and then placing it back down. You watched her, fully expecting to see her slip something into a pocket when the vendor wasn't looking. In a split-second decision, you decided to confront her. But as you started nudging your way through the crowd, she looked up and caught sight of you. Her eyes widened in absolute terror, and she immediately turned tail and began to run in the opposite direction. Anger rose in your gut with a primal force you'd never felt before, and like a predator spurred on by the flight of your prey, you chased after her. She had trouble making headway against the flow of pedestrians coming down the street, so you quickly gained ground on her by following in her wake. Just as you got close enough to touch her, she veered to the side into an empty alleyway. You cut the corner so close that your arm grazed the brick wall, sending a shock of pain through your bicep. But you kept focused on her. She made the fatal mistake of turning around to see how close you were to her, causing her to stumble momentarily. You reached out, and this time, caught her shoulder in your hand. You pushed her hard against the brick wall, harder than you'd meant to, and held her there so that you could stare straight into her eyes. She didn't seem interested in fighting you.
"I can explain. I'm so sorry I did what I did, but I had no choice. You should never have been in possession of that ring. Why didn't you just sell it when you had the chance? I had to take it so that I could make sure no one would see you wearing it. You're so lucky it was me that noticed it on your finger and not..."
You interrupted her, growling at her not to feed you any more lies. She shook her head furiously.
I'm not lying. Please. You have to believe me. I didn't want things to end up like they did, but I had no choice. I couldn't have lived with myself if anything had happened to you and I could have prevented it. You can think I was faking my interest in you all you like, but I really did feel something for you. Believe me, if I had just wanted the ring, I could have easily slipped it off your finger in the bar. I let myself get carried away with you, and I know I shouldn't have done that. It was selfish. Please forgive me.
You saw tears in her eyes, and even through your anger, you had the impulse to embrace her and comfort her. Fighting desperately with your own emotions, you demanded to know if she had already sold the ring.
No, I'm not selling it. It's not a normal piece of jewelry. It belongs to my family. Look, this is a very complicated situation, and I still have no idea how the ring made its way onto the beach where you found it, but we have been looking for it for literal generations. It holds the key to finding something that was lost to us a long time ago. I know this sounds ridiculous, but I can prove it to you. If you can trust me, I can prove everything to you.
She reached up and tentatively laid her hand on your cheek.
I didn't want to involve you in all of this, but now that you've found me, I don't know that I have the strength to leave you out of it. You deserve to know everything. And I could use your help.
Even though you knew it was a bad idea, even though you could still feel the sting of her betrayal and desertion, you found you couldn't say no to her. You took a step away from the wall you held her against, fully expecting to watch her dash off into the crowd. But she didn't. Instead, she took your hand in hers and began to pull you out of the alleyway. With no word of explanation, she hailed a taxi, and the two of you jumped into the back seat. The address she gave the driver was in an unfamiliar part of town to you. After a few moments, she reached over and took your hand in both of hers, looking up at you with an apprehensive smile on her face. You felt the impulse to kiss her, but decided against it. The sky had grown dark by the time the taxi dropped you off on a quiet, tree-lined street. You could see this particular avenue was populated with grand old houses, most of which were locked tight behind heavy gates.
We're going this way. Just pretend we're a couple out for an evening stroll. I didn't want the taxi to drop us off in front of the house for reasons you'll soon become aware of. There's something I need in one of these houses. Something that will prove to you that I'm not a crazy person. But I haven't had the opportunity to retrieve it until today. I didn't plan to bring anyone with me to do this, but it'll actually be better if I have another set of eyes to keep watch. But you have to do everything I tell you without question, okay?
You nodded, a pit of anxiety forming in your stomach. Was she asking you to do what you thought she was asking you to do? To become an accessory to a crime? After a few minutes of walking, Celine stopped in front of a large, imposing manor. Its multiple turrets and detailed brickwork marked it as being Victorian in style, and you thought it could have easily stood in for a haunted house in a movie. Though the grounds were well kept and the exterior of the building looked immaculate, the absence of light from the windows showed it to be unoccupied.
This is where we need to be.
Just follow close behind me. And remember, do everything I ask without question. You half expected Celine to try and scale the wrought iron fence that surrounded the property. But instead, she merely approached the gate and typed a code into a keypad just beside the entrance. The gate door swung open smoothly, and you began to follow her up the driveway to the house. She again typed a code into a box by the door, which unlatched itself with a click. Inside the house, all was darkness and quiet. She turned to you and placed a finger over her lips, then motioned for you to go inside before her. As she stepped inside after you, the door clicked shut behind her.
Don't worry. I've disabled the computer surveillance system, so we should be okay for now. But I have a feeling someone has been asked to keep an eye on the place, so we're gonna have to be very vigilant. Just watch your step and keep quiet. We're going upstairs and to the left. I'll be right behind you. Go ahead.
Against your better judgment, you began to move towards the wooden staircase that sprawled in front of you, each step causing your heart to thump in your chest. So many questions swirled through your mind about where you were, why you were there, why Celine needed to be so clandestine in a house she was obviously well acquainted with. Once you'd reached the top of the stairs, you let her pass and lead you down a hallway to the left. She stopped in front of an ornate door, which had a stained glass panel inlaid into it, like a porthole, which depicted a thorny red rose on a field of blue.
What we need is in here. I'm just not sure where it is. I need you to keep an ear out for anything while I look, okay?
You nodded and followed her into the room. Inside looked to be an old-fashioned study, dominated by built-in bookshelves. Celine slinked cat-like towards the large wooden desk at the back of the room and began methodically going through the drawers. A flicker of light caught your attention for a moment, and it turned out to be a gleaming wooden mask on the wall, reflecting the moonlight off its highly polished cheek. As you continued to look around the room, you realized how many strange and terrifying things it held. Deathly sharp daggers and swords were mounted on a stand on one wall, while a collection of what appeared to be mounted skeletal remains of human hands was being displayed in a curio cabinet just to your right. A statuette of some ancient and horrifying god glared at you from one bookshelf, while the hungry gaze of a taxidermied tiger's head studied you from above a gigantic fireplace.
Fuck, it has to be here somewhere. Where did he put it?
Below you, you distinctly heard the sound of the front door opening and closing. You looked to Celine, dread rising in your throat. You told her that someone was downstairs.
Okay, don't panic. Just close the door as quietly as you can and move away from it. As long as they don't come upstairs, we'll be fine.
You both huddled in the center of the room, listening as intently as you could. The person seemed to be pacing around the entryway, every now and then taking one step onto the creaking wooden stairs and then stepping back down again. Your eyes met Celine's, and you saw your own terror reflected in hers. Then, just over her shoulder, something caught your attention. On the mantel, just above the fireplace, was a long brass box covered in enamel roses. You nodded your head towards it, and Celine followed your eyeline. She gasped, then moved towards it, carefully and quietly taking it down from the mantle, and opened it. You couldn't see what she had slipped out of the box, but you did catch the metallic flash of gold as she pocketed whatever it was.
Okay. Now we just have to get out of here without being seen. Stay right behind me, okay?
Slowly, you both crept out of the study and back into the hallway, making sure to shut the door behind you. Celine slunk forward to try and look over the landing. The footsteps you'd been hearing were now somewhere off to the side. Without warning you, Celine suddenly bolted down the stairs and towards the front door. You followed as quickly as you could, half tripping over your own feet as you made a mad dash for the exit. Celine kept running all the way to the gate, then took a hard right down the street. You followed suit, not sure if the person who had entered the house had heard you leave or not. Pure adrenaline took over and propelled you into a hyper-focus that enabled you to keep pace with every twist and turn Celine took. Finally, she dodged just to the side of a shop-lined street, bracing herself in the darkness of an awning-covered alcove.
Are you okay? I'm sorry to have done that to you. But it was kind of exhilarating, right? I'm pretty sure we're in the clear now. Come on, we'll be safe in here.
She led you through a door and down into what looked to be a modest basement apartment.
Home sweet home.
She walked slowly around the room, turning on a few lamps so that the details of the loft-like space started to come into focus. You put your hand to your chest, feeling the thump of your heart against it, still racing from the run out of the house. That adrenaline was still flowing through you, making your limbs tingle. As Celine neared you, you suddenly felt the need to get the energy out of your system as quickly as you could.
Oh, fuck, I need you too. Come on.
She pulled you behind a bamboo partition, which had been obscuring a large bed. You began tearing at her clothing, desperate to feel her skin pressed against yours, and she did the same to you. Once you had her naked, her body sticky with sweat, you threw her onto the mattress and pinned both her wrists above her head. There was no fear of her running from you now, you knew that. But you still had to make sure.
Fuck, yes! Please fuck me, please! Fuck me as hard as you can. Take every bit of anger I put into you and give me all of it. I deserve it. Fuck yes! Yes! Oh, fuck! Harder! Harder! I know you can go harder! Come on. You're not gonna hurt me. Come on. I want it. I need it. Fuck yes. Don't stop. Don't stop. Give me everything. Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. Yeah, hold me down. Oh, fuck. Come on, keep going. Make me come again. I need it all out of me. Too. Just too much pent-up energy. Oh, God, it felt good to get that out. Wait, fuck, the lens!
She sprang out of bed suddenly, and for a moment you feared she was about to run again. Instead, she began rifling through the pile of discarded clothing on the floor. She removed something that resembled a small, telescoping spyglass. Then, she sat down on the floor, sighing with relief.
God, I almost forgot about it. Oh, thank God it didn't break. Now that I have the ring, this is the key to everything.
She handed the object to you so that you could examine it. It was deceivingly heavy. A golden color, for sure, but in the dim light, you couldn't tell if it might have been made from real gold or not. Along the sides were elegantly embossed roses. At this point, the motif didn't surprise you. What did surprise you was the bizarrely shaped lens at the wide end of the object. It was ovular instead of rounded, and faceted exactly like the stone in the ring. Turning the thing around to its smaller end, you observed a notched slot, but no additional lens or eyepiece.
You and I are about to witness a piece of information that has been hidden for centuries. All we need to do is fit the ring into that slot, and then the adventure really begins.